That isn't cranberry sauce, Artie.
Do you like what you see?
Penetration? Who's gonna be penetrated?
Why are there sharks on the moon?
You're listening to the Bonus Tubi Tuesdays podcast, as part of the Super Network, with your host Super Marcy.
Hey, it's Wish.com Eric Roberts.
And B. Germine.
We're being watched. Oh no, the actors have become self-aware. They know we're watching them.
This bonus podcast is a chance to explore more movies on Tubi with different guests. This podcast may contain coarse language, adult themes, and spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Find us at supermarcy.com or at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Now for our feature presentation.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Listen! I don't have anything to say to you except don't call me anymore!
Operator, I am begging you! This is a real, real emergency! What's the matter with you?
I got molested in a little boy's room!
G'day everyone, this is B. Germine, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome back to the second of our The Bonus Tubi Tuesdays podcast, the podcast that, for at least the first couple of weeks of its release, it is a Patreon exclusive on the Super Network until it's officially released on all podcast streaming services at a later date. And with me, as always, is my very awesome co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. And how are you today?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. A bit tired, mainly because I mixed a bit of one of my meds and also a Finergan last night. So it stuck to me around a bit this morning after I woke up. Although I had a pretty good night's sleep, so I can't complain too much, though. But other than
at least things there's have that, so.
Exactly. So, yeah, things have been good on my end. But what about yourself, Marcy?
Yeah, doing good. Not too much to report, really. Life is just glides by.
Indeed. But yes, once again, this is the Bonus Tubi Tuesdays podcast that you and I are doing together. However, we are not alone on this episode because we have a very special guest who is joining us for this one. And he happens to be a man who happens to be a co-host of ours on our two separate podcasts that we do.
Yes.
Which, of course, are the King Zones Book Club podcast, and as well as Bede and Steve versus Care Crystal Lake. And that, of course, is our co-host for both those shows, Stephen T. Bolt. Hello, Steve. How are you? And welcome to the Bonus Tubi Tuesdays podcast.
Hi, Bede. Thank you. Thanks.
Indeed.
Hello.
And how have you been going, Steve?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm doing good. Excited for this, I got to tell you. I am absolutely just, I don't know, enthralled by this film. So,
indeed. It's like the purpose of the Bonus Tubi Tuesdays podcast is that whoever joins us for the episode gets to pick the film that we do. And Steve, which film have you picked for us for this episode to watch?
This is the great Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to this one because
I'm very excited.
Because to everybody's shock and amazement, this will be my first time watching the film.
No, I didn't know this.
Yes, but the funny part is I actually own the film. It's in my collection back there somewhere behind
me. God.
And I just have not got around to it until now.
Oh, mate, and we're going to talk over it all the way.
Closed captions are for.
Exactly. And also, if I do end up loving the movie, I can just watch it again right away on my Blu-ray. So
I assure you, you will end up loving this movie.
Yes. Well, I hope so. But I have a good feeling that I will.
The cast alone for this film screams Bede.
Yes.
Truly, you are the Bederoo Bonsai.
The Bederoo Bonsai. See, I need to make that into a meme now. Bederoo Bonsai. But anyway, but before we get to the movie at hand, we'll lay down the ground rules as we usually do. So for all those out there who are listening to the show, what you need to do is go to Tubi and see if the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension is playing on Tubi in your part of the world. However, if it isn't, it is playing on other streaming services as well. However, if you want to bypass that, wait till the end of the episode to hear from our sponsor, Surfshark, and they will be able to help you out there. So what we will do is we'll count down from five, and when I say go, that's when you play the movie, and then that way our audio commentary will be in sync with the film. However, since Tubi is a free streaming service, they do play ads on occasion, so if an ad does pop up, we'll shout out ad, and once the ad is finished, we'll let you know that it is finished, and we'll make sure to give a timestamp as well, so that way you'll still be in sync with us as we're watching the film. But I'm pretty sure, though, even if you're not interested in watching Buckaroo Banzai, first of all, how dare you?
yeah, Bean, reckon... how dare you?
Indeed. Well, I'm going to leave now. See you guys. Bye. But I'm still sure that the episode itself will be a fun listen to regardless. So, Marcy, Steve, are you ready to take a trip across the eighth dimension with Buckaroo Banzai, with the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension?
Most definitely.
Bring it on.
All righty, let's do this. Counting down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
And hopefully it plays. Yes. Woo-hoo. As that damn lion.
Yes.
Okay, I will be back in like 30 seconds. Uh-oh. I just have to grab something for Freddy, so it's Uh-oh. Fine. I won't be long.
Oh, wait, I'm safe on this episode. Maybe Kramer's not on the show, so... jeez. So yes, Steve, this is my first time watching Buckaroo Banzai.
That's incredible, man. That's incredible. I don't even remember the first time I saw this. Like, it just sort of
in my consciousness
my whole life. Do you know what I mean? It yeah. must have been a VHS rental one afternoon in the summer, maybe 85, 86, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. But yep. Yeah, I have no actual memory of watching it for the first time.
Yeah.
But I can't. I must have watched it dozens of times since then.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for me, like, why it's taken me forever to get around to watching a lot of movies. I mean, there are a lot of classic movies I still haven't gotten around to watching, but...
Sure.
Yeah, but, you know, movies like Blood Rage, Night Killer, and Troll 2, and The Room just take up most of my time these days.
I still have, to be honest with you, man, I still have, Gone with the Wind on my to-watch shelf.
Yeah,
and every time I put in, like, you know, Night of the Creeps or Buckaroo Banzai or Big Trouble in Little China, I look over guiltily at Gone with the Wind. I'm like, oh, you know, but no,
one day.
Well, that's the thing. I even like think about, like, I've seen like The Room and Troll 2 so many times. I'm like, I look over and I see The Godfather. That's like, I've only ever seen you once.
Look at this cast as it pops up there. We just saw Lift.
It's Jeff Goldblum.
Man, I mean, these guys. Christopher Lloyd. You get Vincent Schiavelli in this. Dan Hedaya.
Wow.
I mean, guys that at the time weren't necessarily known, you know, for known names, I should say, because you can't forget some of these faces.
Oh, definitely
not. And of course, led by Peter Weller.
Yes.
Oh. I know Robert Ito from a TV show called Quincy back in the day. Quincy.
I remember Quincy.
You remember that? 70s, 80s sort of? Yeah, yeah.
Clancy Brown.
Great Clancy Brown.
Oh, Clancy Brown.
I'll try not to just recite the dialogue along with everybody as we go, but there are points where, like, there are things that, Bead, you've definitely got to, for example, hear. Okay, yes. Check this out. All right. Oh, you got Dr. Banzai and Goldblum there having a little discussion over what's going on in the surgery.
And just those two great and distinctive voices.
Yes. You don't even need their faces, right?
Okay. No. I have a bit of, like, it's interesting that you got Peter Weller and Jeff Goldblum side by side, but here's a bit of a fun fact about the two of them. Do you guys know that both these actors are actually Oscar nominees?
I didn't know about Weller, no.
Well, the thing is, they're both nominated not for acting, but for short films, because they directed or produced short films that got them an Oscar nomination.
Okay, no, I didn't know that.
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown is Matthew McConaughey in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. He looks like Matthew McConaughey. All right. I'm Clancy Brown, and I'm here to take my shirt off.
Check this out. Do you mean serious? You have an opening? A little. Well, I'm here. Dance.
Yes.
I can dance.
You think he's talking about joining the surgical team or something, right? And then you have to be at this point be asking yourself, wait a minute, what are you guys even talking about?
And this is just the beginning. And it has been many, many years since I've seen this. It may have been like VHS.
Oh my god.
So this rewatch has been a long time coming.
Yes. Do do do.
Oh, and the theme, man. Sorry, I'm just gonna fanboy all over this thing too, because
I'm so happy. I'm just sort of looking at it now. It's like, oh, okay. So this movie came out before RoboCop, which of course made Peter Weller an even bigger name than he already is.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me. And I guess RoboCop's been talked about a bit because the new game just came out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's had some pretty good like reviews and stuff, so may have to check it out.
I just watched the RoboDoc. Serious.
Yes. Oh, I do want to see that.
Oh, check I haven't that out. Yet. That's a lot of fun.
I will. Might bump that up the list because, yeah, that is one I definitely want to watch.
Yes.
There was a period, guys, I think in the late 90s, and I'm not sure how long a period it was, but Peter Weller and Jeff Goldblum used to get together at this little restaurant / bar and play jazz tunes. Like, I'm pretty sure Goldblum was on piano.
Yep.
And Weller, yeah. Like, I would have, oh man. Just you go in, you get it, I'm just going to grab a drink, and then you see Dr. Banzai in New Jersey over there.
See, if you could, like, access points in time and places to visit, that's where you go.
Yes.
Steve, if I hadn't have guessed, I'd say you're a fan of this movie.
Wait, Steve's a fan?
Oh, man. For those of you playing along at home, I just pulled out the little headband that Dr. Banzai put on there.
I love it. But yeah, like, if you could go to a point and place in time, you'd go to that bar to just sit and hear that jazz playing from those two.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I was in LA in from 99 to 2000 for a couple of months. I was living in LA, and I couldn't remember the name of the place. I so desperately wanted to hit that place, and I couldn't remember where they went.
Damn it.
All right, here he is. He's getting ready to, he's testing the jet car, and nobody apart from his little crew knows what's going on here. He based this character, you'll see it. I'll hang on to this
trivia
for just until we get to the next next scene.
All right.
That's all I can hear now, Bede. God damn it.
Clancy Brown was Matthew McConaughey before Matthew McConaughey in this movie.
He was, apparently.
Had he been the Kurgan yet?
I was about to ask.
Well, Highlander came out in 86 or 85, so this was like a year before it, yeah.
Yeah. So even pre-Kurgan.
The Hell's Face too.
Everybody's pre-something in this movie. Maybe except for like Jeff Goldblum.
This is a year before The Fly.
Oh, yeah. Pre-Fly.
Yeah. That's what
but
I mean.
But it was like, post-Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Post-Invasion of the Body Snatchers, yeah, surely.
Well, the ironic thing is the director of this movie, W.D. Richard, actually co-wrote Invasion of Body Snatchers.
Yes.
We love our trivia and random facts on on the show.
Yes.
I like being surprised with the random trivia.
Yes.
I gotta say, whatever copy Tubi has looks pretty good.
It's looking good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine. This is probably like the same kind of restoration that I probably have on the Blu-ray behind me. I haven't got around to watching yet.
And you know what though? Honestly, it's not too good. It's not crystal clear. Mm-hmm. You can still see the little bits of detritus on the film there, and I love that. I love that.
It keeps the character of it for me.
Right through a mountain.
Holy shit.
Oh no, he's got into the multiverse.
This is what it felt like on my last drug trip.
This remake of 2001 is weird.
Whoa. I just love how 80s it feels with.
Yes.
With the effects, it's perfect. I love it. He's gone through the mountain.
I was talking with a Texas stereotypical voice. Oh, wait a second.
Just roll to a stop.
Oh, wait a second, Bossy. First of all, anyways.
Not going to lie, he kind of looks like a Ninja Turtles foot soldier.
Check this out. And the way they reveal, like, we haven't even seen his face yet. We haven't even seen his face.
See, he was doing RoboCop before RoboCop. I'm used to having my face behind masks or not showing at all.
I got very dirty very quickly.
Marcy quit drooling.
Oh, shut up. He's a very handsome man.
I like how slick back his hair is. Ew.
I don't want to know what the goo is, babe.
It's a multiverse goo.
Ew.
Well, he nailed a red Lectroid as he was going through there. I mean, you know what happens when a bug hits your windscreen.
Yes. Instead, he hit like some alien creature.
That was a whole guy, you know.
Yes. There's something on the wig. Oh, look, Marcy.
Oh, my God.
It's flurkin eggs.
Oh, okay.
Larry Fessenden. Oh, wait, no, that's John Lithgow. Sorry. Everybody's like a pre-someone in this movie.
And he actually had some kind of hair visible in this movie.
Look at those teeth. Oh, his house looks like what my place looks like right now.
This is my book collection when I run out of room.
Yes. I also love that John Lithgow's hair for this character looks exactly like Christopher Walken's from The Dead Zone. Imagine, like, just being named Buckaroo Banzai, and that's your real name.
I mean, I'm kind of sad I'm not named Buckaroo Banzai.
You're Buckaroo Marcy.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, back in time. He's got one of those Russians hats. He's working for the Russians. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen this movie before.
You have no idea. You're talking out of your ass by now.
It's a me. I'm talking with an Italian accent.
How many subscribers for the outfit?
Oh, that's at least
and the wig specifically.
I'll say another 16 subscribers. I just love inventions in the 80s.
Inventions could do anything in the 80s.
Yes, exactly. And they could be made out of cardboard and sticky tape.
B, do you have any idea what's going on yet?
No, I have no idea what's going on.
You can't possibly have any idea what's going on. In fact, I mean, look, Marcy, no one in the movie has any idea what's going on in the movie. They literally, like, even Peter Weller is like, I have no idea what it's about. No idea. He's talking to Lithgow a couple years ago, and they're comparing notes. They're like, we have no idea what this is about.
And that's the joke.
They're like Mark Wahlberg in that episode of Family Guy. What? What's going on? Man, I don't get it. Man, I gotta work out. It's a me. I speak an Italian.
Bede, stop it.
It's a me, Jared Legolini.
You need that wig of hair.
Well, I mean, I do, but that's beside the point.
Now, Bede, just for reference, he almost went into the eighth dimension that we saw Buckaroo Banzai before, and he is now, I guess, possessed is the only word.
So, essentially,
by one of the Lectroids.
Okay, so essentially, this movie was doing Howard the Duck before Howard the Duck.
There are similarities.
And that's not a bad thing.
Lithium is no longer available on credit.
He's gone mad with writing stuff. I love how anytime somebody goes mad, like, if they're a scientist, they just have to write everything on the walls.
They write shit in the walls. I know. That's how you know.
Cleaner comes in. Oh, great. Now I have to clean. Cleaner comes in. I'm like, great. Now I have to clean the walls again.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, Jonathan Banks.
Jonathan Banks.
Back when he had hair.
And dark hair.
Yeah. Marcy, as an Italian, how do you feel about John Lithgow's accent in this movie?
It's a very chic.
It's chic, a chic guy.
This accent, like, you hear, you know, there's all the comparisons to the character in Mussolini in this, but he based this accent on a tailor that he worked with at MGM.
Who was played by Jared Leto. So, where, I mean, on a scale, Marcy, of Italian accents, where does this fall between Roberto Benigni and Jared Leto?
I'd say it's somewhere in the middle.
That should be the scale anytime we ask about any Italian accents. Oh,
add. We are 17 minutes and 18 seconds into the movie. And we are on American Tubi today, so we might have slightly longer and weird ads, but there's an ad with a rotary phone!
Did somebody say rotary phone? Oh, I'm back. Oh, wait a minute. This is the Oh, wait a minute. This isn't the regular Tubi Tuesdays podcast.
It didn't stop you from showing up last time, I think.
Well, you said rotary phone, and I thought I'd come by and say hello, and also to your friend Steve. And also to suggest everyone to watch my movie Blood Rage, because it's almost Thanksgiving at the time of this episode.
I mean, everybody should watch Blood Rage every time of Viola Weeks.
You almost said Thanksgiving, honey.
I did.
But anyway,
he found
though,
that hilarious.
He did. He's like, and that's the first time I talked to him. But anyways, though, I'll let you guys go, and I'll see you all later. Bye.
We are back 1723.
Well, you've just been introduced to Louise Lasser, Steve. Look at these outfits.
Oh,
how many subscribers for that outfit?
Oh, that's at least another 3 more subscribers I wanted.
Oh.
Artie. I don't know. There's a backstory to Artie that I can. Oh, okay. So this is what I was going to tell you before. He, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. He's a heart surgeon, quantum physicist, rock star.
So this movie could easily be like a double feature with Miami Connection. They're rockers by night and ninjas during the day.
No, they're Taekwondo doers and they're college students somehow and in a rock band and stop ninja bikey gangs.
Yes. Look at these outfits.
Oh, man.
I was going to say, you're going to love all the outfits and
this
hair.
This is what I wanted to tell you before, Bede. He based this, he was talking, Peter Weller, and he said, he based Buckaroo Banzai in part on Elia Kazan.
Oh.
On, yes, and on Jacques Cousteau and on Adam Ant.
That explains everything.
It does, right? And back to the Howard the Duck comparisons, there's also music numbers in
that. See, now you have to do a triple feature between Buckaroo Banzai, Miami Connection, and Howard the Duck now.
I'm going to play that at our weird movie film festival.
Yes. That will be for our birthdays next year, Marcy. We'll organize a film festival. Dead or alive, you're gonna listen to me sing.
Oh,
I was not expecting that. Wow.
I wasn't sure if that one was gonna work.
I was not expecting it.
See, I know your soundboard's not working at the moment, Marcy, so I can say all the bad jokes and what and not get a wah, wah, wah sound effect.
Wah, wah, wah.
Look at that one dude's hair in the bed back there. It's Ellen Barkin.
Oh, yes.
Sure is. Penny. With the best look I've ever seen, ever. She was Weird Barbie before Weird Barbie.
Yes.
And I love it.
Oh my gosh, she is Weird Barbie. Now I can't unsee it, Marcy. Why did you say that?
She was 80s Weird Barbie.
80s Weird Barbie, yes.
Hmm. I mean, you can't argue. He's very handsome in this movie.
Well, yes.
Very suave. Very suave.
Yes.
Hmm.
I can definitely see, like, the Adam Ant comparisons, especially with the hair.
Oh, surely.
And the outfit. And everything else.
All he
else.
Needs is, like, a black and white streaks on his face, and he's got it.
He should talk with a British accent. Slow piano. Love theme from Buckaroo Banzai from Across the Eighth Dimension. Oh no, he's singing that song again and a bit of drink. If Peter Weller didn't
also
do his...
music in this music.
Maybe. It's a musical. It's sci-fi. It's everything.
It's literally everything.
That is literally the only thing that could elevate this film any further than it is turning it into a musical.
Yes.
Really should have musicals.
I like how, like, her
it should just all be a musical. No one talks. It's just they all sing everything.
An opera. Yes.
Yes. Buckaroo Banzai, the opera.
Do, do.
I like how her earrings is like, oh, she's got a gun.
Oh, she's going to end it.
I mean, I'm not going to say Peter Weller's music is the best, but I mean, it's not worth killing yourself, though.
Wasn't that bad? Come on.
And they
now they've all got guns.
The entire band, everyone up there on stage, pulled a gun out when they heard the shot ring out. That's fantastic.
Well, literally, they what I said, like, dead or alive, you're listening to a sing.
Literally.
John Bigabotti. It's a me, yeah.
John Big
Booty. John Lifgolini. With me and my Christopher Walken hair. I'm now breaking you bad. Literally. He broke his neck. And Jonathan Banks is dead. That's all right. His variant is still alive in the Breaking Bad universe.
He went back to his Breaking Bad planet.
Yep. John Lithgow literally is Christopher Walken in this movie with an Italian accent. All I can just think is like, oh, wow, spaghetti. It's
Christopher Walken before Christopher Walken.
Yes. It's a me, Christopher Walkerlini. Oh, this place is. There's a Buckaroo Banzai video game in the
dude,
movie.
You don't know. You don't know how important Banzai is in this universe. There
this
are
movie
comic books.
Better.
There are Buckaroo Banzai comic books that people will be reading later on. Like, he's got. Seriously.
He's got his own bus.
He's bigger than Taylor Swift in this movie.
Like, for real. Does Taylor Swift have her own arcade video game? No.
Definitely not.
Hi, Federico. Do you want to watch Buckaroo Banzai as well?
Yes. Yes, he does.
Fine. It's a bit hard to have you on my lap.
No, Freddy. he's
the movie and podcast, buddy.
He's Federico Banzai. All right, all right, all right. That ain't all. It's vanished. He vanished.
Hey, Freddy.
You think
I'm Mr. Wizard? No. Let me podcast, buddy.
Yeah, Freddy.
Is it really a podcast if Freddie doesn't interrupt me?
Yes. Stop it, Clancy Brown. Stop looking like Matthew McConaughey before Matthew McConaughey.
Well, now we know where Matthew McConaughey got it from.
He watches this movie. It's like, I want to lit. I'm going to emulate my life like Clancy Brown. All right, all right, all right. Except with more of my shirt being taken off.
All right, all right, all right. Oh, look at that stereo.
Oh, here you go. Here you go.
Freddy. Look at that outfit. Jeff Goldblum is Woody from Toy Story. Look at that outfit.
How many subscribers for that outfit?
Oh, that's for free, that one right there.
I'm going to go get you it.
Here we go. Sydney.
I think we need to organize like a Buckaroo Banzai party and everyone has to dress up like someone from this movie.
Well, Jeff Goldblum in that outfit, it's all it. Yours.
My Columbia pianist. Well, it sounded like you said
penis?
It's a cowboy hat.
Freddie, you're getting dog hair all over my
face. Brunswick, I used to live there.
I thought we were going to rehearse or something.
Oh my God, Freddie.
He thought they were going to rehearse and he dressed like that.
I don't know what he's going to do.
I mean, just take that into consideration for a moment. Reno, it's an honor. Yeah.
I just want to know.
Wait, where are your Spurs at? What's he making fun of me?
I just want to know, like, what he's contributing to the band by that outfit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but look at everybody else. Fred. I love that he's Sydney's Wybell from New Jersey and decided that, you know, cowboy would be the way to go.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys are obviously familiar with Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Pee-wee recycles that outfit at the rodeo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yes. Pee-wee wears that at the rodeo, that exact outfit.
Marcy, Ellen Barker's wearing like Naomi Malone's like clothes from Showgirls.
It kind of is, actually. It is actually almost that dress.
It is.
We should all be so lucky to have a dress like that. What do you want from me?
I want to know if you're from different places.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Was she very beautiful?
Her neighbor's Naomi Malone. Love Fave. Love Fave from Buckaroo Banzai. Somewhere, yeah. I'm adopted. Of course. We're not even like 30 minutes of this movie, and this movie's already weird.
It starts weird, man. Like
it starts just weird, and it just keeps going from there.
Yeah, like it starts at 11. And then just gradually just keeps going up and up. It's, I don't know. It's so bizarre. This is, you're talking about double features.
Yep.
This makes a really good double feature. I mean, there's nothing like Buckaroo Banzai. Let me just say that. There's a great Vincent Schiavelli there. See him?
Yes. And Dana Day. I just saw him there too.
You really can't pair this with anything. But if you were going to try, mm-hmm. Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep.
Works out really well. They don't share themes. They don't share cast, they don't share anything except W.D. Richter, mm-hmm. who did the adaptation of the script for Big Trouble.
Yeah.
But they feel like they could maybe possibly exist in the same universe.
Well, that would explain a lot.
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm back again. Hey. There was a postman at the door. Freddie was barking. Hopefully he leaves me alone so I can watch this movie.
Marcy, Peter Weller's a fucking nerd.
Bede, you take that back.
And proudly, by the way.
Mm.
I tell you right now, I am a nerd.
So. I mean, I am too, but, you know, I just like... Okay, now we got aliens in the movie.
Peter Weller walked so we could run.
Yes. And he's also got red glasses.
Bede considers himself like the jock.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Even though he is the biggest nerd.
Marcy, you're not supposed to say it. I mean, it's true, but you're not supposed to say it. I think I need all these outfits, to be honest.
The cowboy one's your favorite though, right?
Yes it is.
You can't beat the cowboy outfit. You really can't.
Definitely not.
Banzai with his, you know, Adamant meets Pee Wee Herman look he's got going on now.
It's so weird, like seeing Dana Day at... It's weird seeing Dana Day in an 80s movie because I only just associate him with the 90s and that's about it.
Oh, okay.
Because you're like in every movie in the 90s.
Have you guys seen Dick?
Yes.
See him play
Nixon?
I've
seen Dick on occasion.
Best Nixon ever on film. Absolutely the best Nixon ever.
That yes. I can agree with. That was a good movie. I remember renting that out at the video store when it came out. It was very good. Never That's one due for a rewatch, actually.
Oh, Marcy, it's that creature to Jaffa possessed by the night. Jeff Goldblum's like...
Okay, and no idea what's going on here.
Jeff
Goldblum is he's our doorway into this window, into this movie. He's our window into this movie, rather. He's just as confused as everyone else.
He's like our audience surrogate character in this movie.
Yeah, totally.
And because we would all wear that outfit.
Yes. What? What's going on?
What?
Quiet.
I apologize for any background noise with this dog.
He's got the zoobies.
Oh, he wants attention or something.
Yes. It's that time of the day. He's like a cat at 3 o'clock in the morning.
He is kind of like that.
He's got his own TARDIS. Oh, wait, that's just a ring.
What's the long antenna on his thing?
Well, to be fair, we all had long antennas on our headsets back in the day.
We did.
To the point, like, they almost touched the roofs of every room we were in. I swear, the alien's makeup is the same makeup that Louis Gossett Jr. had in, what was that
Enemy
film?
Mine.
Enemy Mine?
Yeah. Are we sure this movie isn't in the same universe?
How many subscribers for their cool feathery outfits that I quite like?
Oh, that's at least enough for 4 subscribers.
Hmm.
There it is. Don't you see him? What do you mean? Evil. Pure and simple from the 8th dimension.
They were alien. They were aliens this entire time.
As is the great Christopher Lloyd here.
There's that voice. This movie suddenly became They Live.
Yes. This movie was a precursor to every other movie in the 80s.
It's just like Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Oh my god.
Yes.
Voyage of the Rock Aliens would be a good pairing with this for a movie day. Not gonna lie.
Yes. What are these two doing in the hallway?
You know.
Hey, baby.
You know.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Don't mind me, I'm just gonna roll my motorbike out of the.
There is a there is a motorcycle convention. There is a biker convention going on here that was established, so he can just grab one.
One
and
of
go.
The many bikes.
Yes.
Conveniently, also, the keys are in it.
You mentioned the makeup effects in Enemy Mine. I always thought that. The alien in The Last Starfighter.
Oh, yeah.
Looked the same. So, these three could all be in the same universe. That'd be a
they
great
could
triple
be.
Feature.
That's very another one. Feature, but... Definitely need to rewatch.
Yeah. Why do I get the feeling like if I look up who the makeup artist was on this film, they also did Enemy Mine and The Last Starfighter?
Maybe you should look into it, Bede.
I will. I'm going to right now. Because these are questions I need answered.
Puppy!
Okay, why is this movie on archive.org?
It needs preservation.
Yes. Oh, hi, doggy.
Hello, doggy. Bye.
It was a purple dinosaur. It's Barney the dinosaur.
That would be terrifying.
I love you. You love me. 2 + 2 = 4.
Wasn't there meant to be something about Barney coming out?
There is. From A24.
I
All right, let me see. Who was the makeup guy of this movie? Let me look. Okay, special effects.
Are you still looking? Okay.
I am still looking.
Whoa!
Boom!
Well, hi, doggy.
I'm glad Freddy can't hear it because he would start barking at it.
Yes. Okay, so the makeup artist didn't work on Enemy Mine or the other one we talked. However, he was the main makeup artist on Howard the Duck.
There's your connection. You found it.
However, he also was the main makeup creator for Sloth on the Goonies as well.
Oh. That escalated quickly.
Oh no, it's that boulder from Indiana Jones. It's come for revenge.
There's something coming out. Where? Out of the top.
It's Johnny Five. Oh wait, that's not him.
Could be the head of Johnny Five that he's holding.
What is going on? I'm doing unit for this episode, Marcy. What is going on?
It's your turn to be confused.
Pretty soon I'm going to die and go back to my confusion planet.
Embrace it, Bede.
I will.
How do you smell electricity?
Well, what you need to do is, Bossy. Jupiter? I hope he's alone. Bert, there's something over there. Where? He looks like one of those aliens from Enemy Mine. It's almost like they plagiarized this makeup. Oh, there's a Buckaroo Banzai comic.
It's the latest issue.
I want to point out to you guys that the aliens,
yes,
have the latest issue of Buckaroo Banzai. So it's not just a global thing.
So basically, Buckaroo Banzai is like the most famous person in the entire galaxy,
in the entire universe, absolutely,
in the entire galaxy, on all the other dimensions and timelines.
Cross-dimensional, absolutely.
So that means he will never be up for the biggest douchebag award at the Intergalactic Awards.
No, he probably gets the award for coolest.
Yes, especially with that hair.
Yeah.
All right.
You're going to have to find, like, the perfect shot of Clancy Brown in this movie and the perfect shot that matches Matthew McConaughey.
I'm going to put them side by side and I'm going to ask people, can you tell the difference between these two photos? Or I'll just find a random picture of Matthew McConaughey and say, but Clancy Brown in Buckaroo Banzai.
Definitely.
First of all, well, hi, Christopher Lloyd. Operations, you're your dying propulsion system.
Hey, one of our birds. Yeah? Hello over there, one of your birds. Where does this fall into when Back to the Future came out?
Year before. See, Marcy, this movie was like ahead of its time in so many ways.
Just like Voyage of the Rock Aliens.
Exactly. I mean,
It was a year before Enemy Mine too.
So basically, Enemy Mine copied the makeup in this movie.
Hey, this movie influenced everything.
Exactly.
Oh, it just occurred to me. The ball is that creature they just saw before.
Oh, okay.
I gotta like.
You gotta pay attention, Marty.
I gotta pay attention because it's been a while.
Ah, oh, damn it! They ran out of ice blocks.
Why does this dude look like
Freddie Prinze Jr. as Fred in Scooby-Doo?
Well, I wasn't going to say Freddie Prinze Jr., but I was going to say he kind of looks like hold on. Michael Wincott with blonde hair. It's a hair.
And Buckaroo.
It's a head, you dumbass. Whoever it was on that phony phone call. What do the five fingers say to the face? Well, technically, Buckaroo, it's four fingers and a thumb, but you then again, you are a dumbass.
I don't care about technicalities when we punch you.
Yes.
So you were saying... You were saying before you only really recognize him from 90s movies. What are the 90s movies that stick out that
Well, he was in a pre-Dick movie about Richard Nixon with Nixon. He was in that. And also Alien Resurrection, Clueless.
Clueless would be a big one, actually, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah, that's another one. Because he was like Dan and Dea. I mean, he still does act, but he was just like everywhere in the 90s. I'm trying to see what else he's been in. Like, at least other movies that stand out to me in the 90s. Let me have a quick look.
I know him from Cheers.
Wow.
Oh, he was in The Addams Family. He was in that. Betty and June, Searching for Bobby Fischer.
And Cheers.
Blood Simple. Maverick. Guys.
The Usual Suspects, he was in that, To Die For.
Yep.
Holy shit. He did The Usual Suspects, To Die For, Clueless, and Nixon in the same year. Oh, he was also in Daylight, Ransom, The First Law Wives Club, In and Out, A Life Less Ordinary, A Civil Action, The Hurricane. Like, he was in everything.
In a lot in the 90s.
I mean, oh, wait a minute. A year after this movie, he was in Commando, which would be...
That's an 80s movie, darling, and we've seen it many times.
I know. But it's like
his first movie in the 90s, though, was the great Joe versus the Volcano.
Ah, yes. And Pacific Heights that later year.
That's what it feels like for me when I sit on anything, because I'm so short.
And then, like, in the early 2000s, he was, like, in Shaft, Mulholland Drive, and Swim Fed. My most profuse apologies to my homeland and loved ones. And he hasn't really been in much since then. I have to, like, look around and see what other movies he's been in. He's been a bit quiet in terms of acting. True with our message to Buckaroo Banzai. I said back off! Now, damn it, I mean it! Hey! Back off!
Bang!
I just want to go up to someone and punch him like that. Bam! Ooh. Dick Kick City.
Right in the crotch. Yeah. Dick Kick City, alright.
He kicked Buckaroo the
Banzai,
dick.
Always getting in trouble. I mean, if he stopped kicking people in the dick, he'd get in less trouble.
I find it interesting because, like, you would think a movie like this would be based on something like a comic or something like that, but it's just an entirely original creation.
Someone just took a lot of drugs.
No, kind of is not based on, but like inspired by I can't think of his name, the Man of Bronze.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah.
Doc Savage. That's what
yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I mean, an aspect of because this is such a weird amalgamation of so many different things.
Mm.
Oh, very, very much so.
And then it brings in War of the Worlds in a little bit as well.
Mm.
I like how basically like scientists in this world are treated like big celebrities.
Yeah, I love that. I want to live in that world.
All right. Look at that outfit. Oh, wait, it's still the same cowboy outfit. Ah, 80s computers where it's just the black screen and typing. Could be highly revealing. No sign of Buckaroo. The professor just wrote up saying something about space monsters. There's no sign of Buckaroo. Space
monsters, my ass. How dare you?
Oh, ad.
Ad.
We are at 48:12.
Well, that's been a while since. That's like a literally over a half an hour since the last.
And this
ad.
Is a very quick ad, actually.
Oh.
And yeah, halfway through the movie already.
Yes.
Not too bad, Tubi. You're doing very well today. I got to give you that.
They were like, you know, we're gonna. This is Buckaroo Banzai. We can't just spend forever on ads for this movie.
And it's just the one ad, and we're back. 48:14. There we go.
Remember back in the 80s where, like, everyone had, like, shimmery, shiny jackets like this dude?
And spandex. And boots.
We should bring that back.
This is, like, one of the most 80s movies I've ever seen. Oh, my gosh, it's Carl, like, Lambie.
It's 80s. In one movie.
Yes.
My name is John Parker. Identify yourself, no? Blue Blaze the regular, Pinky Carruthers. Sorry, John, everybody needs see Buckaroo.
Carruthers.
Everybody's got to see Buckaroo. He's the Buckaroo of the Buckarooiest.
Actually, the name we should... Here, they're running. We should know who Carl Lambie is back there with the dreadlocks, because he was Dick Halloran in Dr. Sleep, dammit.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, in a lot of Mike Flanagan stuff, and he was also Isaiah Bradley in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm.
Yeah, he just played... We just watched Followed the House of Usher. He was Auguste Dupin.
Mm. And he's also voiced a lot of... work as well, like in a lot of DC shows, like doing voices of like Martian Manhunter and a few others.
Yeah, I'm trying not to laugh at these names.
These names are great. You're missing all the names of the aliens. They've all taken the name John, and then sometimes a last name that makes sense, like Camp Jones. But then there's John Littlejohn.
John
Smallberries is, I think, my favorite. John, John Many Jars.
John Many Jars.
John Many love Jars. Oh, he's figuring it out now. He's putting it together.
It's the Jeff Goldblum figuring it out.
Orson Welles. You mean the...
1938, War of the Worlds, that fake radio news broadcast that got everybody scared thinking real live Martians... Landing in Grover's Mill.
Oh.
Those glasses are amazing.
I kind of want those glasses, to be honest. Hoax. They could have just had, like, regular nerd glasses. They had to have very stylized nerd glasses. Orson Welles knew about this all along.
I'm really trying not to do a very bad Orson Welles impression, so I'm not going to.
I'll do James Mason. Hello, everyone. It's me. It's James Mason. I'm here on the podcast once again. Even though I'm not in this movie, because I was gone by this point. Oh, backwards.
I love that. Like the $6 million man effect, you know?
Yes. That's my favorite thing. Basically, it's like, oh, yeah, jump backwards and we'll just speed it back.
It'll look fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
It won't look weird at all.
Doesn't look terrible whatsoever. Okay.
Carl, you do it too.
Beautifully dumb.
Oh my god.
Ah, now I got your jacket.
They want to steal those clothes. Oh.
Death wide water barrel. Oh, wait, it isn't.
Well, it just rolled down the hill.
Well, that was an uneventful way to distract me.
All right, who's the wise guy?
I like how he's wearing, like, old-timey pajamas. I said,
wise guy. Old-timey pajamas.
Whoa! He went flying back.
That escalated quickly.
Quick, Gab, we got to pick up Jeff Goldblum so we can take him to Jurassic Park. Oh, you know what these aliens also look like as well? They also look like the aliens from Alien Nation as well.
Oh.
Seriously, like...
little bit, yeah.
Between this movie, The Last Starfighter, Enemy Mine, and Alien Nation, it's like the 80s only had one specific idea for aliens throughout that decade. All right. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be doing Matthew McConaughey impressions throughout this episode. I apologize in advance.
Now, that jacket is an epic jacket because it looks like 50 in one.
Mm. It's multi-layered. Yes, Orson Welles. Yeah. I can't do it, Orson Welles impression. I apologize. And if
That's
anyone
why I didn't
knows,
even try.
And if anyone knows anything about Orson Welles, it's Steve, because you did you made a play about Orson Welles.
Yeah, I wrote the play. Yeah.
Yes. Which also wasn't it also based on the War of the Worlds broadcast as well?
It was the Mercury Theater putting the show on. So it was sort of everything that led up to it, and then the whole business afterwards. Mm. Yeah.
You can only cast anyone to play Orson Welles if they can do his voice.
Hey, you know what? I pride myself in casting a 23-year-old as Orson Welles. I think he was the only actor ever. Connor Deakin was the only actor ever who was age appropriate to play Orson Welles.
Yes. It's Russell and Cash from Omega Band. Oh, yeah, cover your eyes.
I love this, like,
with
bubble
this bubble wrap
goggles.
bubble wrap goggles need to make a comeback.
Gonna start making them right now.
Yes. These are some weird superhero masks that they've made at home.
What they learned how to make that day on play school.
Actually, my name's Tim. And he's going to steal your hell hair gel.
The Overthruster sounds like a good name for a sex toy.
You can buy it now of Wild Secrets.
That's an action that the Kremlin will most certainly misinterpret as an American first strike. Thank you, Perfect Tommy. Oh my God. Marcy, if you had to sum this movie up plot wise up to this point, how would you do that?
Some things happened. Some more things happened.
And then even more things happened.
80s fashion.
Yes.
It's you can't really describe the plot of Buckaroo Banzai.
You can explain what has happened so far, yes. But as far as plot wise, what's actually going on? Yeah, no.
Fifth dimension aliens did the War of the World. Okay, I'm a girl. I invaded your privacy. I went through all your personal belongings.
Meanwhile, El Market has been gone forever. Oh, wait, there she is. I can hear her now.
Give me hope to carry her.
Sister, and I married her, but that's over now.
And she had a Nomi Malone dress.
All good, I'd like to say about that.
Meanwhile, back at the lab, with like weird gloves everywhere,
and all that duct tape.
That's well, what I love. None of this is high tech.
Hey, Marcy, if life has taught me anything, duct tape can fix anything.
Duct tape is fucking useful. All right.
Right.
Had to beat you to it for one.
Damn it.
Oh, no.
Clancy Brown's on his way to the Matthew McConaughey convention.
He's going to appear at the Clancy Brown convention that Matthew McConaughey wants to go to.
Yes. Oh, thank goodness all the duct tape is safe.
Gonna have to fix everything with duct tape.
Oh. Ew. Damn it, that jar only had one day left till retirement.
Okay, Tommy, check the biomedical lab. Serena, you take the physics wing. Jersey, go with Reno. This is a pretty wild way to try and save the youth center.
Yes. This movie's so wild, they should have cast... This movie's so wild, they should have cast, like, Louise Lasser in it as well. Burn
she
the fire.
Been, like, straight out of filming Blood Rage.
They had the specific
single drawer. Yeah.
Oh, no.
A specific drawer.
Whee! Tell. It's okay, Buckaroo. Matthew McConaughey will take my legacy on.
And I'm going to kill the Highlander. Here. That's not what the here Kurgan is. Sounds here like. Is.
Greatest line in the movie. Check it out.
Is there a water bottle? I'll tell you later.
That's it.
Yes.
Why maybe is the watermelon there?
Maybe he tells me. Maybe he doesn't. We never know. We never find out why there's a watermelon there.
See, that's random jokes I love. Is like.
If there's any one scene in this movie that sums this movie up to a T, it's that one. Why is there a watermelon there? I'll tell you later.
It's kind of like that joke in Anchorman. It was like, Rick, where did you get that hair grenade? I don't know. and we never find out where he got.
Never find out.
Say what you will about these aliens, but at least they dress stylish.
The red electroids, the red electroids tend to dress stylish. The black electroids look like they just raided a Salvo's.
Yes.
That's how you can tell the difference.
The overthrustler.
What is it now?
The what?
The overthrustler.
It is so much fun just hanging with you guys.
Yes. This morning, huh? Sorry, I sneezed on my shirt.
He didn't want anyone to notice.
There's nothing worse when you, like, go to sneeze and you think, oh, it's all right, and then you sneeze and then there's, like, just snot everywhere all over you. It goes
everywhere.
It,
so when you do it like in your hands, but it goes back and straight back in your face.
And because we're talking about this, Steve is never joining us for a podcast ever again.
What is it, Apache? Spiders.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't feel all right, all right, all right, right now.
Does that mean you're on our side? That's right. Ew.
I like how they go back and forth between Carl Lambie having the alien makeup on and not having it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a perspective thing. Like, Buckaroo can currently
see it.
Yeah.
Mm. It's almost like kind of trippy. Like you think, you question what you're actually seeing for a second.
Yes.
Which is pretty much sums up the whole movie.
This movie is
glorious.
This movie is the Kurgan's origin story. This is how he became immortal.
Mr. President. Names have been changed. Their true backgrounds
are shrouded in secrecy. The president is played by Ronald Lacey, who is Tot from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh!
Yeah, unrecognizable.
Nice.
In this role. But yeah, last seen with his face melting off.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Mr. President, you're not a Nazi, are you? We might have to burn your face off.
Oh, that cool computer.
Hello, Mr. President. I know your back is killing you, but I have a developing situation.
How did anyone be in those machines?
That's how they... Well, Marcy, they did have, like, metal garbage tins back then for, like, people to crack their backs on.
Yeah, the Simpsons wouldn't be around for quite a while here. Yeah,
exactly. So they had to do it this way. Also, why is it Harry Dean Stanton in this movie? This would totally be a movie he would have been in.
He was already Harry Dean Stanton.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
they're too late. I just love that the president has back problems for like no reason.
He just needed to be filmed in that contraption.
See, Marcy, whenever we get around to writing our movie scripts we're working on, we should have quirks like this for the characters, just to make them memorable.
Just randomly for no reason.
Yes, and it's never explained.
This man, as you call him, is not a human being at all. This man, as you call him, oh man. John Parker from the very same planet 10,
and his spaceship is at this moment anchored. If it's the planet 10, is it full of Bo Derek?
Yes.
One can only hope. Somehow give off the
bacteria. We breathe it. It swims up our nose. I really want his red glasses so bad. To
our brain cells tells us to see exactly. It's are we gonna put it in our brain cells?
Over-exaggerated Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
Droids, Planet 10, girl named John?
Red
nuclear
glasses?
Extortion.
Check out Carl. Check out Carl. Hang on.
Hello there. I'll do that. That's how we're going to greet each other from now on, is doing that. It's like he's being, like, the president looks like he's about to be used in, like, some giant mechanical robot that control it.
He's getting ready for his, like, big mech machine.
Yes.
Buckaroo. I don't think anybody has ever looked as cool as Peter Weller in that outfit, but just add the red glasses.
Yes.
That is your favorite the character is doing an Italian accent like you've never heard before.
It's a me, Jared Legolini, before Jared Legolini.
It is a John Lithgolini.
John Lithgolini.
Fuck there. Now, can I just say, John Lithgow is one of the greatest actors of our time.
Absolutely. He's
not only the greatest actor, he's also the most underrated actor.
He really is.
Even though
Whether he's doing serious or comedy or whatever, he nails it every time.
Exactly.
But everybody in this movie is bringing it. Like, everybody is... You know, 100 at the top of their game in this
110%.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look at it.
100%.
Betty, for your thoughts.
I mean, Ellen Barkin looks like she's ready to murder.
Oh my god.
All of them. You know the address.
And they're going.
It's address.
Going to yo-yo.
And they want the over a thousand. Sorry.
He'll come.
But to take her to the pit,
they've
big
just
booty.
Her in honey for like no reason at this point. And I think they were putting bugs on her, they were going to torture her with bugs. But I just love that they had the little honey dispenser, the little bear.
Yeah, just dip it.
In our eyes, they're not very pretty. Nothing personal, John Parker. If we blow this today,
check it. Okay, Goldblum's reaction here. He sees him for the first time.
No.
Oh damn! I thought I got away. Damn! I thought I got away from these pod people.
Did I get that? Yeah, surely.
That's my reaction when Beach shows me a movie he assures is fantastic, but it's really terrible.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
Are you though?
That was my reaction when we watched Hell of the Living Dead.
Oh my god, I just watched that myself for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, why?
Jesus Christ.
I may or may not be doing that for an episode of Bean versus the Living Dead next year.
That's fantastic. Oh my god. It's half, you know, half documentary footage. I'm just like, you know what? Let's just use it. Just pad it out.
They really did that and it just derailed the whole movie.
It did that and I completely forgot it. Blacked out. I think I completely forgot about the middle section of that movie, and then when it happened, I was like, I made a huge mistake. But the first and last half were hilarious.
It was so bad, it's funny, and then...
Then that middle section happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you've never hear a podcast go completely downhill so fast.
True.
Oh, Jesus.
How is he still in the contraption?
He's in the hospital. This is what he's there for. This is the contraption.
Yes.
There's a novelization of this that's written from the point of view of Reno.
Oh.
So Reno's like their chronicler. Okay. So the whole novel is written by Reno. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of fantastic in that regard. Just last year, was it last year, 2 years ago? Mack Rausch wrote a sequel. This is like the long-awaited sequel teased at the end of this movie, Buckaroo Banzai Against the World Crime League. We waited decades for this. This novel was, without question, the worst thing I've ever read in my life.
Oh.
It was so bad. It was like, I don't know. There was barely any plot. He brings in the bad guy that's teased in the alternate opening to this film. There's an alternate opening if you get a chance to
watch. Okay.
I'll have to watch it.
We
get to see the accident that killed Dr. Banzai's parents when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And guess who his mother was played by?
Yes, his mother was Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But this was orchestrated by the great Hanoi Shan, who is like the main bad guy in this universe. And he's in the novel, in this new novel, but not even as the main bad guy, though he's there most of the time. If you think this movie is hard to describe to someone, imagine the trouble I'm having trying to describe this sequel. There's barely there's barely a plot. It goes on forever. And it's, I'm like, Mac, man, what have I ever done to you? You know, like, at any opportunity, if there's a pause long enough in a conversation, I will bring up this movie and tell people how great this movie is. And if they haven't seen it, you know, here, borrow mine, right? And then this sequel that we've waited decades for comes out. I can't even imagine it becoming a movie because there's no real story. It's just a bunch of stuff that happened, you know? And you think you can say that about this movie, but believe me, this movie is the paradigm of the hero's journey compared to that sequel. It's such a shame.
Sounds like it's a massive shame.
It really, really was. My brother and I were just distraught because I showed this movie to my brother. I think we probably watched this together when he was like 4 or something. And and you love know, that. Like since then, you know, we've just loved this. We're consistently quoting it to one another and things like that. But yeah, it was a shame. It was sad. This is his big Mussolini speech now, by the way.
It is.
When?
Real soon. Real soon! We want change! When do we want it? Real soon! It's the little bits of things like that, just the random bits that just make it so freaking clever.
Right? It's so wonderful.
It really is. It's joyful.
Did you see they're at Yoyodyne propulsion systems right now. They're at the company. Did you see the motto of Yoyodyne? They're a growing, excited company. I don't even know.
Ew.
That might be how sounds like someone might describe their penis, for example.
It's fantastic. You'll see little you know, signs around here.
There's a lot of attention to detail with just little things that it's there to discover.
That's it. That's what I mean. Like there's a no entry sign. It doesn't say no entry. It says nobody comes in here. And everything is spelled incorrectly. But you know,
Hewlett Packard, like,
we've got to put this
on his
up,
face.
You know, God.
Of course, you'll be inside.
All of this was a choice.
It's a beautiful choice. Pete, how's your first experience of this movie been so far?
So far, I have no idea what is going on, but I'm going to have to watch it again.
On repeat viewings. No, that will not change on repeat viewings, but I would really like a report after you get to watch it again.
Yes. But I am enjoying what I'm seeing so far, because this movie is insane.
Oh my God.
The Hewlett-Packard on the little yellow thing. On his face.
Oh no, he's being turned into RoboCop.
Oh shit, that's how it really happened. They just told us it was the other way to make it such a Jesus metaphor.
Yes,
this is the high tech version of the machine in the Princess Bride.
See you later, bye.
Princess Bride's another one I haven't seen for a very long time.
Marcy, every year. Come on.
Fine. Starting now.
See, Marcy's busy watching Blood Rage for at least the fifth time. She has no time for these.
I'm here watching. Yeah. I need to watch Sharkula on Tubi, you know.
Yes.
No, I get you. I get you. Like I said, I'm, you know, I just got the Criterion Princess Bride, so I'm like, oh, I have to watch this. And yes. And you know, then there's the little cry from Gone with the Wind. You know.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Come over here.
I'm Steve, Clark Gable. Have...
Steve, stop watching all you... these Friday the 13th movies and watch me.
It's very important that you watch Friday the 13th movies.
Well, not that I'm doing a pluggy Beat and Steve versus Camp Crystal Lake, which is the podcast where Steve and I discuss the Friday the 13th series. And you can listen to it on all podcast streaming services everywhere by via the Beat versus the Living Dead podcast feed.
And it's available on the 13th of every month.
Exactly.
There's the
sign.
The big sign.
Growing excited company.
Oh, rewatching God. This movie, I just want like a Team Buckaroo t-shirt.
Yes.
I have kind a of, buck, I have sad, a Bonsai have Institute t-shirt.
Ooh.
Big bootay.
Kind of feel sad I don't
big
have bootay. One.
Hang on. Check this out. He's going to report this security guy. What is your name? John Yaya.
John Yaya. John
Yaya.
And the other guy is?
Small
Berries.
So what would your John name be?
Oh my John, God, terrible Aussie.
I have a feeling I'd be one of the normal ones, you know, like if I'd be one who tried to fade into the background. Mm.
John Big Melons. Nice to John meet Big you. I really want that silver jacket too.
Yes. It's so shimmery and shiny. I just want it.
I like the padding.
Hmm.
It's just the way it's so 80s, but just the way the clothes are so intricate is insane.
Don't touch it. Might be a bomb. Yes, don't touch me, Pinky. I will do that for your brain. I'll do that. Yes, we're going to take over the world once again.
We're going to do what we do every night and take over the world. No, I can't do it. Shamefully.
I thought that was a Jawa back there, but it's a completely different character.
Jawa? It's a bivouac. They sleep here. We all should stay here. You better believe it. Sorry, which way? Over there. Are
you sure? Believe it. Just once. I wish I could see through this makeup. What a way to, like, sneak around, just doing, like, long jumps like that.
It's the only way to do it, y'all.
I'll have to do that from now on.
Hmm.
Now don't you sneak around.
You do what you're told.
How can anyone not see them? They're like out in the open.
The electroids are just, I mean, they're hanging around eating Cheetos and, you know, like, they're not, they're not really, they're not expecting this. They're not paying attention.
They're not paying attention, yeah.
They just can't see through their makeup.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but if you have an alarm go off, that's going to get attention.
There you go. There it is.
Whee! That escalated quickly.
He didn't help himself, did he?
Dammit, the RoboCop. Dammit, the RoboCop experiment. It's not working. Oh! That alien only had one day left till retirement.
He did, actually.
By the powers of the adamant, I will defeat the aliens.
I love the announcement going, there are monkey boys in the facility.
There are monkey boys in the facility.
John Emdahl must die.
Nobody comes in
here. Nobody comes in here.
Secret.
Secret.
John Tucker
must die. I need
that
die. On a t-shirt.
Oh my god.
He's just there to deliver the mail.
Oh, I think we've got an ad.
Ad.
1 hour, 22 minutes, 21 seconds. Which means the never ending pasta you crave. Now it's making me hungry for food.
Oh my god, I want this so bad.
Pasta and. Oh.
Chicken. Meatballs.
It's a meatball.
We'll be disappointed when we find out where it's from.
So yeah, they're playing Italian, like an Italian restaurant ad, especially with like John Lithgow's performance in this movie.
Oh, it's an Olive Garden. Oh, got it.
We're back.
And we're back.
1 hour, 22 minutes, 25 seconds. Not much longer to go in the movie, and we're all very disappointed because it could go 20 hours and we'd be enthralled by it.
I thought you could watch this on a loop. Make with this. I thought you were a pod person. Or a Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson.
Could you imagine Charles Bronson in this movie?
Hello, it's me, Charles Bronson. I know you aliens are from the eighth dimension, but you killed my family. Now I have to kill you.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not impressed with you aliens coming to this planet trying to take it over. And also wearing shimmering jackets without me having to wear one.
Whoa, what the fuck is that?
This is literally the ending of Howard the Duck.
1 day I'm going to do that double feature.
Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if this is actually the same set.
It's kind of weird how two very different movies seem to have a lot in common.
Yes. And both of them have, like, stood the test of time for very different reasons.
Meanwhile, Howard the Duck was, like, my favorite thing at 3 years old, so leave me alone.
No, that tracks.
It does, right?
It explains everything.
Yes. Flying handshake, what
your name is? I'm here to see a bomber. Ah, oh, well, wow, 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 but talking like this,
Talk about this like two reasonable beings. Hey, you listen to me.
That's to really say something where Christopher Lloyd gives the most subtle performance in the film.
And he's brilliant.
God damn planet. Understand, monkey boy? Let's get out of here, John O'Connor. But John Worfen said we could kill her.
Here you go.
Damn John Worfen and the horse he rode in on!
Oh. This should be escalating.
Oh, Schiavelli. That guy's so good.
One of the great character actors.
Yeah. Usually playing really creepy science, you know, either a scientist or a doctor or something like that. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yep.
Remember back in the day where you used to have see-through bags?
Yes. You wouldn't do that now. You wouldn't want people to know the stuff you had inside your bag.
I do not like the thing that she's wrapped up in.
Uh-oh. Ew.
What part's ill?
You better come quickly.
Oh. You have to come for your planet.
Is the girl dead? Yes,
Is it the girl there?
I think Jared Leto watched this movie and used John Lithgow's performance for his inspiration for his performance in House of Gucci.
Potentially.
Yes. Oh, it also has to say something when the aliens are the least crazy thing about this movie.
By a long shot, I might add.
Peter Weller is the Punisher in Buckaroo Banzai. Lord Warfiend.
Whee!
What oh, he died
want
too.
To use a quarter? Is the cool music now.
Wah! The claws of the door, Ruff.
Claws of the door, sir. Whoa!
Whoa! That was a bad trip. Why is it these arms in these jacket pocket like section?
He was shot.
Oh, okay. Forgot
he was
that.
Shot at their.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning there.
Oh, okay.
He's got it like in a thing.
Yes.
A sling thing.
You'll notice that when you watch it later. You'll notice a lot when you watch
yes.
it.
Yes. You stole my overthruster. Yes, I installed my overthruster.
I got a picture of myself on the wall.
Where's a red picture of himself?
He likes to look at himself, Marzi. He looks so angry in that picture.
It's a terrifying photo.
I do that like at the smile in a picture.
John the Big Booty, you coward! John the Big
Booty! Wait for it.
Such a Marcy what? Thing to do to
oh my
you.
God.
Bede, I predict lots of rewatches of this movie in your future.
I'm going to watch this movie 10 times and still have no idea what's going on.
But I swear
but
to you.
But you'll pick up so many cool little things.
You will pick up things when you watch it 10 years from now. That's yes. the thing. That's what happens with this. It's like
I think I'll you figure can't... out. I think I'll figure out Mulholland Drive before I figure out the plot of this film.
But you can't take all of it in one viewing. Yes. Is what I've found. Mm. There are certain, like, you'll find things. You go, oh, did he say, you know, or something like that, and it'll come to you on different levels. Mm. This happened to me with, weirdly enough, with Big Lebowski.
Mm.
Big Lebowski had been out for like 15 years, and I'd seen it like at least 3 times a year since then. We showed a friend. And she picked out the line when Walter is describing his plan to the dude to throw out the ringer. And dude says something like, oh, yeah, Walter, your plan is perfect. It's a Swiss fucking watch. Our friend picked out the line Swiss fucking watch. I had never heard that line before. It is one of the funniest things, one of the funniest deliveries. We use it all the time now. And I had seen the movie, I can't even tell you, countless dozens of times. This is the same. This is the same.
Oh!
Yeah!
That alien died.
he got pissed off because he kept mispronouncing his name, and he finally had enough of him. Schiavelli just slides into the safety harness there.
Everything looks so 80s, but it just looks so cool. Like, the designs they came up with for this are just really, like, really inventive.
It's so good. Like, I'd be afraid to see a sequel because they'd want to update everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't think anything would look as good today,
yeah.
you know, by today's standards.
It was, the 80s just had such an aesthetic. You can't replicate that now because everything's just like completely different.
Oh no, they got lost in New Jersey.
You don't want to get lost in New Jersey.
What are you talking about? They got by New Jersey. Oh my gosh, there's an alien.
I don't know Boston. What your accent is, but whatever.
I'm sorry, that was Boston. Sorry, that's not even in New Jersey. I'm a
diplomat, a fair flight school. It's a fair flight school, la.
Whee!
With these Plan 9 from Outer Space style spaceship effects, it's so good. God.
Whee!
Okay, they're better than Plan 9 from Outer Space, but...
Only just a bit, tad.
It just adds to the charm, honestly. It really does.
Mm.
Dude, has anyone in the history of anything looked as sexy as Peter Weller in this movie? Because I don't think they have.
I don't know. There's probably somebody out there.
John Parker, take this one. I think it can be done.
John Parker.
I think the closest or at least on par would be Chris Sarandon as Jerry in
Well, that is true. Yeah.
And this is why I'm single, because no men can live up to that right
now. No man will ever...
Do you look like Peter Weller in Buckaroo Banzai? No, fuck off.
Just put it on a dating profile if you... If you look like Buckaroo Banzai, give me a call. If you don't, fuck off.
Exactly.
Only Buckaroo Banzai looking guys may apply.
Exactly. That's like me giving directions.
That is you giving directions.
No, my right from my angle to your left.
Yes.
It doesn't help I confuse left and right as well.
Oh, no.
I mean, you do.
I will see you in the hell.
Well, it sucks to be you, John Lithgow. There's no sequel, so it's not going to happen.
Whee!
That's right. He would go on to play an alien for several years.
Look at that hat.
I love all the feathers.
Oh, I love the boa.
How did they get all the way up in those suits?
I was just thinking this. Like, why would you do
that? That is what it's like to be short.
Yes.
That's how I look when I'm on, like, a stool. A high stool.
Yes. I mean, you are only 2 inches tall in real life, Marcy. There's the iconic shot from this movie.
Yay.
Could you give me a lift? Where are you going? Come back!
What he doesn't know is Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves are coming, like, right down next to him.
Whee!
Oh, thank goodness, yeah. Just stuff doubles safe.
Yeah, me too. Where's Penny? At the bus. Bloody hell. Jersey helped me bring her back. How is she, okay? Said he'd pull her through. Quite a guy. You want my opinion? You give me that gizmo, I'll give you a brand new...
You see, Christmas is coming up, kid, and I need to buy a water pistol for my kids. So if you give me that one, I'll give you all this money. Oh wait, that's real good.
Money.
I like how basically most of the armor that the Buckaroo's friends was wearing, it's literally just motorbike safety gear.
Absolutely. Ride with me in
the jet car. Like motocross thingies.
Yeah, motocross. Yeah.
It's all so low tech. I mean, they've got a snorkel there attached to their. I don't know what is there a tank even that they were breathing
I
that
don't
gas
know.
In?
I did
all I could. Oh no.
Peter Weller, do I have something under my eyes?
President. Spacecraft and Planet 10, or should you just go ahead and destroy Russia? Tell him yes on one and no on two. Which?
You said destroy Russia? Okay.
Oh, well.
Oh, no. Ella Barkin's a sheet.
That wasn't a very nice thing to say, B.
Well, she is. Look at her.
Yoink.
Yoink.
Once again, by the powers of Adam Ant, I'll bring you back to life.
Whoa! Oh!
Damn it, I shouldn't have walked on the carpet. Oh, hello.
Oh, great. Now she's a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear me talk about zombies on my other podcast, Being Versus the Living Dead, which is on all podcast streaming services everywhere. Oh, she's got a wound on her neck. She's been bitten by a vampire.
Dude, consent. Consent.
Consent. Consent.
This is a weird remake of Snow White. Jeff Goldblum is dopey amongst... holy shit, this movie literally is Snow White the Seven Dwarfs.
How many Blue Blaze irregulars are in this thing? How many people? The Hong Kong Cavaliers, and you get... a Scooter and his dad, you might be right, man.
Yeah. Mm. And John Lithgow is the evil queen.
Ooh. Oh.
So what? You deal. Don't worry, Bakuro Banzai. I like to watch you guys.
See?
Look for the next adventure, Bakuro Banzai. That'll never come.
Now, are we going to play the credits here? Are we going to play through the credits?
Yes.
I don't know how to stop it from starting Red Dwarf.
There we go.
No.
We can't stop it.
Six.
I can't stop it.
I can't stop it.
It can't be stopped.
They can't not let us watch the credit sequence.
There we go. I think we made it work.
Oh,
half
my God.
Of it's missing. It's Pee-wee.
It literally is Pee-wee's outfit.
See what I mean? Aggie Gerard Rogers did costumes for both those films, just in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Uh-oh.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
All these outfits are basically what I'm going to wear for one each day of the week.
All right.
Check out Monday, Perfect Tommy. Okay,
Monday, it's going to be... Yeah, Monday's going to be like... I guess Clancy Brown is now all right.
Perfect Tommy over here, shirtless in the white jacket.
Shirtless, yeah.
That's why Sunday
outfits in this sequence. Perfect Tommy comes out in another outfit.
Oh, the Showgirl's outfit.
Because he is such a clothes horse.
Like,
now, I want you guys to picture in your heads, instead of the music playing right now, what they listened to while filming this was Billy Joel's Uptown Girl.
That would explain everything.
Now listen to it. Listen to it. You can hear
Uptown Girl.
He's yep.
living in
right?
a rock
world. Yep.
Also, the 80s had a lot of people wearing berets.
Yeah.
The Berman Studio. Thank you, Berman Studio, for your special makeup effects.
Wait, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All the hair and makeup and costumes in this movie should have won an Oscar.
There you go. Perfect Tommy is now...
Is now in different outfit.
He was like, no.
They were like, no. They were like, yeah, your chest is too shimmery. We have to put a shirt on you.
I love this movie so much.
Bakuro Banzai.
Oh my God. There you go, guys. There you go.
Lot of fucking fun.
Yes.
Do.
Well, there you go, everyone. That was The Adventures of Bakuro Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. And Marcy can't pause the movie.
No, I was just letting it play while we,
But okay, yeah,
I'll
we hope.
I'll stop it now.
That's all right. Well, we hope all of our listeners enjoyed this special bonus episode of the Tubi bonus, the bonus Tubi Tuesdays podcast. Thank you, Marcy, for always being an awesome co-host as per usual, and also Steve for coming on and picking the movie for us. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, guys. I'm really glad you enjoyed this one.
It was an absolute blast to rewatch this again and watch it with two of my bestie buddies.
Exactly. Exactly. But before we wrap up the episode today, Marcy, where can people find this on the internet this week?
As with every week, you can find us at supermarcy.com. And of course, if you enjoy bonus content, extra content to do with the Super Network, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/supernetwork. Every little bit helps with keeping the website going and all the podcasts. And of course, you can find the Tubi Tuesdays podcast on all your podcast streaming platforms. Just look up the Tubi Tuesdays podcast. And you can find all the other podcasts that we hopefully will be doing a lot more often through the Super Podcast, Super Network. I don't know what I was trying to say there. But anyway, you can find Super Marcy, me, under all your socials. I'm very easy to find if you want to do that.
Nice. Nice. and Steve, where can people find you on the internet this week?
Find me on letterboxd.com/FulciRama and check out what I've been watching over there. I also have a column at forcesofgeek.com called Creep Shows and Fright Nights, where I look back at 80s horror. That's a lot of fun.
Definitely. And people will find me personally. You can find me on my Twitter page at twitter.com/BeeJermaine, but you can also find me on Blue Sky at under BeeJermaine. You can find me at Letterboxd as well under BeeJermaine, and you can find all my work over at supermarcy.com. And in terms of my other shows, you can listen to my solo show, Bead vs. the Living Dead, and as well as the show that I co-host with Steve, Bead and Steve vs. Camp Crystal Lake, on all podcast streaming services everywhere via the Bead vs. the Living Dead podcast feed, and on all the socials, such as Twitter and Blue Sky under Bead vs. TLD, and as well as Facebook under Bead vs. the Living Dead. So, yeah, that is the end for this episode of the Bonus Tubi Tuesdays podcast, and we'll see you all next time, everybody. See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.
President's on line one, calling about, is everything okay with the alien spacecraft and Planet 10, or should he just go ahead and destroy Russia?
Tell him yes on one and no on two.
Which was yes, to destroy Russia or number two?
The Tubi Tuesdays podcast is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised. The other added bonus of having a fantastic VPN with Surfshark is if a movie we're watching on the Tubi Tuesdays podcast is not available in your country, you can switch on that VPN, go to the country that it is in, and watch the movie. Surfshark VPN also allows you to do this on other streaming platforms, where if you're missing some content in that library, You can turn this on and have a look at what else is on offer. Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal. Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy shark do 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 do. Surfy shark do 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 do. Now back to the 2B Tuesdays podcast.